Welcome to my new radio show on KIDO Talk Radio. I'm Dr. David Kent, MD. I'm so excited to be hosting this new show that I'm starting. I want to give a big thanks to Town Square Media Boise and to Darla for making this possible. Also to KIDO Talk Radio and the producer, Ray Amaya. I'd like to talk a little bit about myself to start with and tell you who I am and kind of why I'm doing this in the first place. I'm a psychiatrist here in Boise, and I've been in this area since 1990. For those of you who don't know, some people don't know what a psychiatrist is versus a psychologist. There's a little bit of confusion about that. A psychiatrist is someone who goes through college, then medical school for 4 years, and then another 4 years doing medical specialty training in psychiatry. So it's a very medical track. Just as a background as well, I received my medical education and psychiatry training at the University of Iowa, which happens to be my hometown of Iowa City. So the question arises, why did I go into psychiatry? Well, it wasn't something that I'd thought about when I entered medical school. In fact, it wasn't even on my mind. It didn't happen until I was in my third year of medical school, and I met a resident who was training in psychiatry, and he was actually a senior resident, and he was terribly enthusiastic about the field. In fact, he told me that it was the most successful field in all of medicine, and I didn't really realize that or think about that at the time, and as I researched it, I discovered that he was probably right about that. When I came home to announce to my family that I wanted to go into psychiatry, I was met with some resistance because of some doubts about the safety of the field and other things like that and other expectations that my parents had for me. However, over the years, this has been the right choice for me. It's been the thing that I enjoy the most. I enjoy people. I enjoy helping people. And I've discovered that it truly is one of the most successful fields in all of medicine. A little more background on myself. I'm married with 5 grown children and 13 grandchildren. We chose Boise because of the great location, a reasonable 4 seasons, of course, except this past winter. They're very friendly people, the mountains, and it's been an awesome place to raise my family. And I've certainly not been disappointed in my choice. So what is this show about? Well, this show is about a lot of different things. Being a psychiatrist, I'm going to have free rein to talk about my field, which includes lots of different topics. I'm going to talk about things that affect people and talk about mental illness. And when I talk about mental illness, some people think, well, that's somebody else. But mental illness is not about somebody else. It's about yourself or somebody that you know. Mental illness touches everybody. And so that's kind of one of the things I've learned is that you may say that you don't know anything about it, but you know something about it because someone in your family has it, some of your friends have it, or yourself. So that's why it's important. That's why this show is going to be so important, is you're going to learn a lot of things about mental illness and about psychiatry and about yourself. And I'm going to provide hope for you, and I'm going to give you information that's going to help you get help. I've been practicing for 30-plus years, and I've gained a lot of perspective on the field, and it's been very enlightening. I feel like it's been a privilege for me to work in this field. And I think it'll, by talking through this on the show, I think there's some myths that people have and there's stigma that people have that I think is going to be reduced. So my question to you is this. Do you have a mental illness of any kind? Or do you know someone who has a mental illness? More specifically, do you experience persistent or recurrent depression? Do you struggle with sleep or insomnia? Do you experience low energy? Do you have irritability? Do you experience changes in your appetite, either too much of an appetite or not enough appetite? Do you feel worthless at times? Do you have feelings of guilt, or do you experience feelings of hopelessness? Do you experience ever hearing voices when you're by yourself or feel paranoid? Or you ever feel like you have special powers or abilities? Do you experience high anxiety or elevated mood? Do you have problems with anger control? Do your thoughts ever go fast or race? Do you struggle with checking light switches and locks or do excessive hand washing? Do you have panic attacks or unexplained headaches, chest pain or generalized aches and pains? Do you struggle with concentration and difficulty completing tasks? Do you sometimes feel like life isn't worth living and contemplate suicide? Do you struggle with relationships, holding down jobs, or with the law? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then this show is for you. If you answered no to these questions, the show is still for you, because I know that you know somebody who's gone through these things. I'm going to be putting a lot of plugs in for my show, for my website. I have a website called treasurevalleytms.com, and I provide a lot of information on that website about what I do, about specialized treatment. In particular, I talk about TMS, which is something I'm going to be talking a lot about today, and that's the main topic of discussion, and I'll explain to you what that means. I also have a very active Facebook page, and also that's Treasure Valley TMS. Just have to type that in, and it'll come up. I have an active following on that Facebook page. We have daily posts, a lot of information. It's a place to find hope. It's a place to find links to helpful information that you might find useful. So one of my philosophies in providing care is to provide the best possible treatment. And that's based on sound clinical research and good data. I always feel that good data doesn't lie. Good data tells us what we need to know. So I've always been really data-oriented and research-oriented in my approach, and it's always paid dividends for me. I've always felt like I've gotten the best results by doing that. And the exciting thing for me is that modern psychiatry is very successful, and I've discovered that over time. Now, it's one of the primary reasons that I decided to pursue this career, and I think it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made. Yes, there are very tough cases in my field, but that's true of all of medicine. There's always tough cases. There's always cases that don't want to respond or don't respond favorably. But the vast majority of cases that I treat and have been involved with over the years have ended up much better than when they came in. So as I go through today's radio show, I'm going to be talking a lot about a subject that's more recent in treatment for mental illness, and I'm going to talk about that. It's an alternative treatment. It's a non-pharmacological treatment for depression that I've gotten astonishing results with. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as I move forward. I'm going to talk about kind of how this treatment was discovered and how it was developed. I'm going to talk about how it's being used today and what it's going to be used for in the future. So
welcome back.
Please stay tuned.
This is Dr. Kent. This is my weekly show.
This next segment, I'm going to talk about deep TMS. So what is deep TMS, or what is TMS? That's something that a lot of people have never heard of. I've heard all kinds of other acronyms that they come up with, but what it stands for is transcranial magnetic stimulation. That's a big word, so that's why we use TMS. And TMS was something that's been long in coming, actually. Back in 1896 in Paris, France, they made attempts to stimulate the brain and cause some kind of external reaction, but they didn't succeed. Then again in London, England in 1910, they did the same thing. It wasn't until 1985 in England, an Anthony Barker, who is a PhD, discovered TMS. And the way he did it was, like any good researcher, he was tinkering. And he was tinkering in his lab. And, of course, they were doing it on themselves. So what he did was he took a Michael Faraday coil, which Michael Faraday invented in 1831. So this coil's been around for a long time. It's actually a magnetic coil. And so when you apply electricity to the coil, it creates a magnetic field. So they took this round donut-shaped coil and they put it on the left side of the scalp of one of their colleagues in this lab in England, and they applied a current and the field. They did it over the left motor strip of the brain. Now, the brain controls, usually when it comes to muscle, the left side of the brain controls the right side of the body and vice versa. So they put this on the left motor strip, and they were able to actually show that they could get the right hand to move or twitch when they applied a current. And this was a huge discovery. And immediately, the world took notice. In fact, the amount of research done on this field has been exploding. I was at a conference in Barcelona, Spain in March to go to a World Brain Stimulation Conference, and there was over 1,000 people in attendance at this meeting. We had researchers from all over the world. We met people from Russia and China, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, South America, all of the United States, all studying this topic, which was kind of mind-blowing. I also had the opportunity to meet Tony Barker. He was at this conference. This was a second world conference, and he was given an award for his discovery. So I got to give him a handshake and go congratulate him on his award. Also got to talk to him a little bit on the side. Very interesting individual. So he's the one who discovered TMS with this coil. But the problem was it was a donut-shaped coil, and it, so it made a donut-shaped pattern with the electrical field, which wasn't very useful because you couldn't concentrate the field. So someone came up with the idea of putting two round donut-shaped coils together and forming a figure eight. So the figure eight actually concentrates the electromagnetic field into a spot or into a little area of focus. And so that's what's been used for quite a few years as a figure eight coil to do TMS treatment. But the figure eight coil is not patented. It was something that didn't ever get patented. So anybody can build or make a figure eight coil. Now, there are some major manufacturers who make these coils, and they do TMS with these coils, and they've been quite successful. However, there's been another company come along out of Israel. It's an Israeli company called Brainsway, and they've created what I call a second-generation device. They use a coil technology that's not a figure-eight coil, and they put it in a helmet. So they take these coils, and it's patented, and it's proprietary, so they don't even release exactly how these coils are configured. But what they do is they go deeper in the brain and they go broader so that we have a more depth to the treatment. And they also are creating different helmets for different conditions, which is terribly exciting in this field. They've created a total of 14 unique coil designs to treat different brain conditions. Right now, their coil is only approved for depression, but that's going to change. So what Brainsway has figured out is that one size truly does not fit all. With the figure eight coil, it's difficult to treat other conditions because all you can do is move the coil around the skull and hope you get the areas you need to, but they don't go deep enough, so that's the problem. So how does this work? So how do you stimulate someone's brain with an electromagnetic pulse and get a response? It's been heavily studied, so the mechanism of action is a little not completely understood, but what we do know is that this electromagnetic coil technology using electromagnetic pulses actually stimulates the brain tissue. And they initially studied it on the motor strip so they could actually visually see a response on the opposite side of the body. And that was exciting because it was the first time that they could show that the brain tissue could be excited by something external. But how does it work in depression? How does it work in these other conditions? That's the real question. I just recently came back from San Diego last week where I went to a national conference where all the world experts were also at this meeting. So I got an opportunity to see firsthand the research that's going on and the mechanism of action that's going on with this. And it's terribly exciting for me. I just couldn't believe it. I went to every single meeting. I went to 12 hours a day to meetings. I couldn't get enough of it. So the way that we think it works is it stimulates the brain tissue. It actually depolarizes the neuron, and that's kind of a fancy term. It basically means that we turn the neurons on. When we turn the neurons on, they then stimulate a reaction, and then they elicit other neurons to turn on as well. So in depression, we've discovered through imaging, we have brain imaging now. We have very fancy brain imaging these days. We can use a functional MRI. It's called fMRI. We can look at someone's brain, and we can see the activity level at that moment. We can take people with depression and people who don't have depression, and we can compare those images side by side. And we can take large groups of people, and we can use the averages, and we can determine if there's a difference. In fact, we found a difference. People with depression have certain areas of the brain that are underactive. They're not active as much as they should be. In the case of depression, the main area of study that we've had over the years has been the left dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. I can't always say that if I say it fast. That's just over the left eyebrow. And that's not an exact point. It's just an area. It's not an exact anatomical spot, but it is a general area. And what we know with the brain is that the cortical regions of the brain, which are your higher thinking regions, the outer part of your brain, where we do our thinking and we initiate activity, we do have our creativity. That part of the brain controls lower parts of the brain, or are connected to lower parts of the brain. Those are called subcortical regions. And with depression, those are limbic regions, which are involved with emotion and mood and anger and things that I kind of listed off in my questions. So those areas are directly linked. So with these studies, in this imaging studies, we found that this area is underactive. So TMS or deep TMS activates the underactive region of the brain. It doesn't always do it the first time, so we do it repeatedly. We do it over and over again until this area of the brain is functioning normally, essentially. So that's what we do with TMS. And there's other areas of the brain that may be associated with depression, but this particular area is easy to reach and easy to treat, and we get great results in that area. But there are many other areas being studied in the brain, and that's the exciting part of it. So let me give you a little more history about TMS. In 1997, it was approved for depression by Health Canada. In 2002, it was approved in the U.S. for treatment-resistant depression. Then there was an FDA process that happens, and the FDA doesn't approve anything easily. So there's a long process that takes place. So in 2008, NeuroStar had their device approved, which was a figure-eight design, for the treatment of depression. And then in 2013, BrainsWay came along with their new patented coil technology, and first try, they got their coil approved. It took NeuroStar two tries to get theirs approved through the FDA. So since 2013, BrainsWay has been in active development. They've gone worldwide with their helmet technology. That's the technology that I currently use. I see it as a second-generation device. And their numbers actually are improved on the figure eight design. They have better results. More people go into remission. More people get response. And so in the last 4 months, I've been using that device. And I've been extremely excited with the results with my own patients. When I went to Barcelona to this World Stimulation Conference, I really discovered the depth of the research and how much is being done. I'm really excited. I got to meet Mark George. He's an MD psychiatrist out of South Carolina, and he's considered to be the father of TMS. He's done the most extensive research. He was the initial researcher to study how this could be used. He worked with Tony Barker on getting this developed. And so he gets a lot of credit for this. And I met him at both of these conferences, the one in Barcelona as well as the one in San Diego. So I got to really meet him. And now, not surprisingly, TMS is being used all over the world. In fact, there's a place in Tokyo, Japan, at one point had 60 machines going on one floor of one building at the same time, which is the most in the world. And at the San Diego conference, I got to meet the Japanese physician who was doing that. So I got to meet him, and it doesn't hurt that I speak a little Japanese, so I got to talk to him a little bit, and he was delighted to meet me. So next time I go to Tokyo, I'm going to meet up with him and see what his operation looks like. So I'm going to quit this segment, and I'll catch up to you on the next segment.
This is David Kent,
MD, a psychiatrist in Boise. Welcome back to my weekly show. I've been talking about deep TMS for the last segment. For those of you who are just tuning in, that stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's a form of treatment that's been discovered in the past few decades, but just starting to get used more commonly. I'm one of the first ones to use it in our Treasure Valley, so I'm very excited to be on this show to describe how it's used and what we're doing with it. I talked a little bit about some of my experience going to some conferences, both in Barcelona and in San Diego. I met sort of the world leaders on this topic and the ones who are doing all the research, Mark George out of South Carolina, Tony Barker out of England. I also met the BrainsWay CEO in San Diego. He just became their CEO a couple months ago. His name is Yaakov Mishlin. He's from Israel, and he's excited for the developments that they're doing. What I like about BrainsWay is that they're really putting their money into research and development. I understand they have like 55 worldwide multi-center trials going on at one time. They're studying multiple indications for this device. and they're developing 14 different coil configurations to treat different conditions, which is terribly exciting if you're a psychiatrist, because we've been using medications for many years. In fact, I started using medications back in the 1980s, and back then we had a lot of limited choices. For depression, we basically had tricyclic antidepressants and monoamine oxidase inhibitors, or MAOIs. And even then, we used trazodone, which is now used for sleep. We used it at high dose to treat depression because that's all we had. It wasn't until the end of my training that Prozac finally came out and then other medications became available. So I've had sort of a limited amount of tools in my arsenal to treat depression. So let's talk about TMS or deep TMS and what it could be used for in the future. Now, some of this isn't FDA approved. It's what we consider off-label, and I'll explain to you what that means. But some of the conditions that we're looking to treat in the future include major depression, which is now available for, obsessive compulsive disorder, attention deficit disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, various addictions such as gambling and other addictions such as cocaine addiction, bipolar depression, the negative symptoms of schizophrenia, which mean those are the ones that are the most troubling. Those are the ones that are where they have a lack of interest in doing things, a lack of drive, and that's really what keeps them back in a lot of cases. We also are using it for migraine headaches, also for tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. Neurologists see a lot of those patients. Starting to see some results with early dementia, which is very exciting, because right now we really have nothing for that, in my opinion. It's being used for the fatigue associated with MS. It's also being used for post-stroke victims and also being studied for autism. So that's the exciting part of this for me, is there's so many uses that I think it's going to be available for. It's going to take some time. The research takes time, and the FDA approval process takes time, but some of these are being used for what we call off-label uses. Let me explain what that means. If the FDA approves something that we can use, that's considered on-label. That means that they've approved it. Insurance companies will then start to pay for it, and malpractice insurances will cover it. If it's off-label, that means that the FDA has not yet approved it, and so most the insurances won't cover the cost of that treatment, and the malpractice carriers will not cover that. Does that mean we won't do anything off-label? Not necessarily. There's lots of things that have happened off-label, but there's some risk associated with that. But for people that are really suffering, they're willing to try off-label things. And so those are things that we'll talk about in future shows and what might be possible and what the research is showing. So what's the effectiveness of deep TMS for depression? Let me talk to you about the published research about that and then my own data that I've collected myself. And what they said about TMS in general is that about a third of the patients will go into complete remission of their symptoms, which is really high, which is really exciting. Overall, half the patients will have a 50% reduction in their symptoms, which is also very exciting. That still leaves about half the people who are not going to respond very well. But that's not too far off of what medication's response rate is. If you take a medicine for depression, you can expect about a 50 to 60% response rate on the first try. But that means you have about a 40 to 50% non-response rate. So then you need to try, what often happens, you try a second medicine. But what research shows is if you take that second medicine, your response rate goes down by 50%. So your chances of responding are more like 25%. And then it goes down another 50% with the next medicine. So every time you try another medicine that fails, your chances of responding goes down significantly. It gets to the point where the likelihood of the medicine working is probably next to zero or just a few percentage points. Of course, there's psychotherapy, and psychotherapy is also very useful for depression. It's in heavy use today. There's very good modalities for treating people with depression, but it doesn't work for everybody all the time, especially in very refractory cases or severe cases of depression. It doesn't always work. It's still good to do. It's still good to learn. It's good for mild depression especially, and it's also good in combination with medication and biological treatment. So let's come back to TMS or deep TMS. We know it's effective. We know it's useful. Let me talk about my data. I've been using Deep TMS or BrainsWay Deep TMS since the beginning of this year. So about 4 months, 5 months, but really over the last 3 or 4 months, I've been in more heavy use. I've treated about 26 patients so far. I've collected data on all of them, but some of them are just starting. So that data is still kind of waiting to be analyzed. But out of the first 17 patients that I've treated with Deep TMS, I've had one person not respond. I've had one person be a partial responder. The other 15 patients have either had a 50% reduction in their symptoms or gone into complete remission. So that's better than the published research data. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know what I'm doing to get those results, but I'm getting those results. And those are based on we do a PHQ-9 score. It's a self-assessment score that patients take every week. Before they start treatment, they fill out a form. It's a self-assessment. It's actually on my website. When you go to my website, you'll do a self-assessment, and you're going to be filling out a PHQ-9 score. And that's based on research. It's a research-validated test score. So my average score for patients going into TMS is 18. That's the average score of those first 17 people. Actually, all the 26 that I've done, their average score is 18. Now, to put it in perspective, if you have a score less than 10, you probably have a mild depression. If you have a score from 10 to 20, you have a moderate depression. And if you have a score of 20 and above, you have a more severe depression. But as you get closer to 20, your depression is getting more severe. So the average patient is having close to severe depression. And in fact, insurances won't cover this very well unless you failed other treatments. So all of these patients have failed treatment. They failed medication, psychotherapy. So they've already failed a bunch of medications. So these are more severe cases. And so I ran my scores so far on the first 17 patients, and my average score at the end of treatment, some of these haven't finished treatment yet. You have to keep this in mind. Some are still in treatment. The average score is around 6. And if you throw out the non-responder and the partial responder, that score goes even lower. So the vast majority of the patients who are undergoing treatment are getting amazing results. Amazing results. And these aren't, I don't coach these results. I just give them the paper and they score this themselves. And they tell us how they're doing. And we can see how they're doing. We have patients who come in and they're usually feeling very, very hopeless. And they're often in tears. They've given up on life. They've given up on treatment. And then within some period of time, some people within days, some people within weeks, they start smiling. They start laughing. They start becoming a different person. So this is the amazing part for me. And so I've been doing this a long time. I treat people with medications. I treat people with other modalities. And I get results. And I get people who do well. But not everybody does well. And not everybody likes to be on medication either. I've had people tell me with the Deep TMS that they feel more natural. They don't feel medicated because there's no medication involved. They can drive themselves to treatment and drive themselves home. This is also the safest form of treatment for depression that we have. There is no systemic side effects. It doesn't affect their gut or other parts of the body. They don't have a loss of their sex drive or sexual abilities. A lot of side effects that are undesirable with medication. You have none of that with Deep TMS. There is a side effect potentially of a very rare possibility of having a seizure from TMS. It's like 1 in 1,000 or even less than that. So it's very rare to see. It's something that we are aware of and something that we have precautions for. We have a protocol for that. So it's not something I'm too worried about. If somebody already has a seizure disorder, we can still treat them with TMS. Their risk does go up. But I have someone now who has epilepsy, and he has done marvelous with the treatment. He's done awesome. And he's had no seizures, no problems whatsoever. And I'm very happy with the results. So how is it covered? Does insurance cover this? That's a big question I get a lot is, you know, can we pay for this? And fortunately, because it's FDA approved, as time has gone by, insurances have slowly got on board, and it's covering the treatment. In Idaho, almost all the insurances cover this except for Medicaid and Select Health. As far as I know, everybody else covers it. Medicare does cover it. So I have had some Medicare patients do it. They don't pay very well, but they pay well enough at this time to make it work for the most part. So even if you don't have insurance, I will work it out. I'll work something out with you to make it happen. So I'm going to move on to my next segment. I appreciate you listening in.
And
welcome to my weekly show. Got a couple things I want to mention real quick. I've been talking about deep TMS and the history of TMS and how it treats depression and my excitement for it. I want to put a plug in for my website. It's treasurevalleytms.com. I'm also on Facebook at Treasure Valley TMS. So please look at those. I provide a lot of information on there about this treatment, what I do, lots of different links. I'm also going to add in there, because I'm starting this radio show, I'm going to put a radio show link in there. And I want you to call in to that, or not call in, but go to the website and ask me a question. And if it's a question I think we can bring on the show, I'll bring the question on the show and I'll answer that question. Also, I'd like you to share any experiences related to mental illness or depression or something in your life related to this. And I might bring that on the show as well. I might even bring you on the show if it's something that I think other listeners would want to hear. So go to my website, treasurevalleytms.com. Go to my radio link, ask me a question. Maybe I bring those questions on the show, share your experience. Maybe I can bring you on the show or share your experience. It'll be with your permission, of course. But I really want to get interaction with the community. I don't want to just sit here and talk. I want to communicate and interact back and forth with the community. So right now I've got Susan here. She is somebody that I've just recently started treatment with deep TMS for her depression. So she's having... She can tell herself her amazing results, but I wanted to bring her on so she could share her experience with you. First of all, I want to ask Susan, just tell me your background, kind of a little bit about yourself, and then I'm going to ask you some more questions.
Thank you, Dr. Kent. The first thing I want to say is thank you very much, Dr. Kent, for having me come and be able to share part of my story with your viewer, with your audience. I come from... I'm 65 years old, 65 years young, and I've been in pretty much marketing, sales, and the political arena all my life. I've been in high-profile positions, and it had come to really a point of where I have a very strong automatic button, and that's how I've lived my entire life.
Okay. Well, my next question is, tell me your experience with depression and the treatments you've received before you came here to see me, and kind of what your experience has been and how long you've had depression and what it felt like and what kind of things you went through.
Most of my life I have suffered with depression. Probably was not really diagnosed fully until my early 20s or late teens. And then it started endless. Psychiatrists, psychologists, and then the medications. And I was on, I've been on 25, 30 different medications. And they, it just continued up and up. And I can tell you is I did not, I was on automatic. I did my jobs. I did my life. I had my family. And I just did what I felt like I was supposed to. The biggest question my counselors would say, would ask me was, what do you do for fun? I never could answer it. I literally did not know what relaxing or fun it was. I only knew work.
Okay. So how did you find Treasure Valley TMS?
From my wonderful doctor in Garden Valley, when I came into him very recently and told him that my anxiety was off the charts and my depression was coming back, and he simply told me it appeared I was at a point where my body was resistant to all medications and we needed to find something different. And then he mentioned you. And then I have a brother in Maine that had just retired from the psych industry and profession. And when I went to visit him, he said, you know, you are Sue, but you're not. And so he then, I told him what my doctor had said, and he started researching TMS, and he said, I really think this is for you. So it was now finding you. And I did.
And how did you find me?
I found you because my doctor referred me to you. He knew of you. He did not know a lot about TMS. However, he is learning much more from me now. And you've saved my life. And so I got the appointment, came in, and the only thing you requested of me was had to stop my wine. No more wine. And I said, if that's all it takes, I'm on board. And we started the next day.
Well, it's been gratifying to work with someone like you who's motivated for treatment coming into it, who wants help. It's very, very gratifying for me to see someone like yourself. And it's pretty amazing that someone has had depression since your late teens, mm-hmm. and now you're 65 years young, mm-hmm. and for the first time in your life, something has happened to change your perspective and how you see the world now and how you feel, and that's pretty amazing.
Dr. Kent, I walked out the first day, and I turned to your assistant, and I said, I feel like I'm floating, and I said, the best way I can explain it is I don't have any worries. I'm relaxed. A feeling I had never felt in my life that I could remember. The next thing, as my husband and I were driving home to Garden Valley, I kept saying, have you noticed how blue the sky is? And the sky hadn't changed, but I had. I had never noticed it. Many people have said that this is like lifting a fog from them, and I get that, and they're right. For me, it was like I found myself laughing and smiling, and I was beginning to live, and it's a miracle for me, of which I cannot stop talking about. My life has changed so much that my attitude has changed. I care about things. In the past, I didn't care about, this seems menial, but I remember like Christmas cards. I mean, I'm a person who, I was in marketing and I care about my friends and family, but it was too much effort. If I didn't have to do it, I didn't. Now, I want to do those things. And I feel alive. I'm so thankful and so excited that I look forward to, I can't believe I'm saying, look forward to go to a doctor. Dr. Kent has, this treatment has saved my life, and I tell everyone and will continue to tell everyone, and I'm so thankful.
Well, I'm just excited this has worked so well for you. I'm excited I got lucky enough to kind of stumble onto this mm-hmm. type of treatment. It kind of, a little bit by happenstance. I heard about it, but I didn't know much about it, and I just decided to open my mind and say, you know, it can't hurt to know more about this, and that's kind of how I got onto it. And I remember my staff telling me the day that you went out for your first treatment, I said, oh, feels like she's floating. I said, well, I hope this is a true reaction and treatment response. And then you've only been like a week and a half, 2 weeks mm-hmm. into this treatment with you, and that's really at the early phases still. And the results are pretty astonishing. And this is in somebody who's had depression for decades and decades and decades, and really only known depression, but coped with it through being a workaholic and kind of putting her nose to the grindstone and just working hard, hard, hard all the time. But now she can work hard if she wants to, but you can play now. You can enjoy life, and you can see the other side of life. And I had another patient who's on my website, a testimonial that talks about seeing color now. That's mm-hmm. exactly what you just said. I see color now. So I've heard that consistently. So I think it's the fact that you are able to see life again and experience life, which is pretty exciting.
It's very, very exciting. And another thing, if for anybody out there that, because usually when you have depression, you feel bad about yourself. And there were many opportunities that I had that would come to me, and I would ignore them because I'm going, oh, no, they didn't mean me. And they did. And I totally missed them because I didn't feel good about myself. Well, I do feel good about myself, and I care about myself. I care about taking care of myself and my new husband.
Who's sitting right here, supporting her all the way, which is awesome. So what would you tell people out there that were like you?
There is help. You do not have to live like this. There is life. You don't have to stay on maybe some have to stay on medication. Try this. Because I was so far down, and I was heading toward I was a 19 out of that 20. And if it will help me, please try. That's all I can say is give it a try.
It's subtle, but I think you'd probably recommend this treatment.
Oh, yes.
Well, appreciate it, Susan. I really appreciate you coming on. Kind of last minute, I called her this morning, and she just packed up and came in, and we rearranged her treatment time a little bit and got her down here. She came down from Garden Valley, where she comes down for treatment. Every day she comes down from Garden Valley. She said she'd come across country for this treatment.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty amazing. So sounds like she would do it again. And the other thing that's cool about TMS or deep TMS is that research shows that if you respond to this treatment, you'll respond 100% of the time in the future. And that's exciting because I can't guarantee she'll stay out of this depression forever, but I can say to her, if you need this again, it's going to work. And that gives her hope, and you don't ever need to lose hope. So that's the cool part. So I'm about done with my show here. I really recommend you go to my website, treasurevalleytms.com. On there, there's a self-assessment. It's the orange link. You can't miss it. And you go on, you take the self-assessment. It'll help you know if you're a candidate for the current TMS for depression. So take that self-assessment. Go on there, find my links, go to my radio link, ask me questions, give me your experiences. I want to know. I want to put them on my show in the future. I want you to be part of this. So I appreciate you tuning in this week, and tune in next week at the same time from 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. Thank you.